Hey, so let's talk about our days real quick. What did I do? I went and did an induction session to volunteer with animals. Hey, what did you two get up to today? Did you see anything crazy, maybe?
Well, no. Everything was really normal today, actually.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. What did you do in the city? You went to the city, I hear.
Well, I mean, the city is the city.
The city
and in
is
the city, there was the decadence and vice that the city provides.
Naturally, of course.
And we saw...
I was wondering if there were other sins you might have witnessed.
Well, we saw evidence of the outcome of sins.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. El, what we see in the city today?
We saw, I would say, not just the outcome of sin, but the end stage of sin.
Yeah.
We witnessed one gentleman fall to the ground.
He felt like he had had the hardest heart attack.
The hardest of the heart attacks. The heartiest of the heart attacks.
Heart attack.
Yep. And another gentleman lowered him to the ground, looking like he really knew what he was doing.
Very professional, grabbing the back of his head.
Grabbing the back of his head.
That's good.
Held his chest.
Yeah, looked like he was about to do compressions.
Yanni and I were terrified. We saw that. We ran over thinking, this man is dying
like
right
now. Like, we freeze for 3 seconds, and then it's like, all right, let's go. Don't know what we're going
to
do.
We're about to witness
I don't have
death.
First aid. Do you have first aid?
I have a little bit of first aid, but, you know, in a moment of panic.
Yeah, like, we're just like, we'll be there.
We'll be there just
if we can just help hold the guy. Turns out,
we were witnessing an exorcism.
A public exorcism.
A public exorcism.
In Queen Street Mall.
Queen Street Mall.
In Brisbane.
Australia.
When you told me this earlier... I, much like this man, simply fell to the floor.
That is in fact what happened. Yeah.
I couldn't process quite what you'd meant. Why are we... So we can just do this now? We're just allowed to do public exorcisms now? Like, that's the stage of society we're in?
Yeah, I'm going to contend that we've always been allowed to do public
exorcisms.
Yeah, was
there a point at which we weren't allowed to do public exorcisms?
Yeah, like every they'll... point up until now, because I didn't know about them.
That's a good point.
Okay, so presumably this man was possessed by a demon, right? Like,
yes.
That is typically the idea behind, like, possession and exorcisms,
definitely...
is that you have been, you know, interfered with demonically.
He was bringing stuff out. The exorcizer
was trying
things out. That was the shape of what we were seeing.
Did he mention anything he was bringing out? Did you observe any, like, demonic activity?
Not really. The guy on the ground.
The demonic activity was we were in Queen Street Mall, and that is the demonic activity.
Honestly, it's true. I saw a lot of, like, odd-looking people around. I saw people wearing anachronistic basketball jerseys, which I always love.
Mm.
You know, players who no longer are on that teams or have bad relationships with the teams. And it's like, oh, bro, get a new shirt. You're just wearing some guy's name on your back, and it doesn't make any sense. And
almost like they're possessed by something.
Almost like they're possessed by the spirit of a
uncool.
Fake... Yeah, of a fake basketball team. You know?
Do you think, and this is an important question...
Yeah.
What kind of demon do you think... would possess an Australian?
So there's 3 things that come to mind immediately, right? The moment you say that. One of them is, I suppose, one of the classic ones that might lead into what we're talking about today, which is a demon that has existed here before the Australian, you know, before the modern Australian ever showed up on these shores. And that demon, I imagine, would treat the Australian perhaps in much the same way that that demon treats all people, or maybe in a specific way where it is able to see it as the Australian as something that is outside of this context. The second one is definitely the demon of somebody who was killed because he was unable to pay his gambling debts.
Yeah.
That feels like a demon that would definitely possess an Australian. And the third one is Fred the Demon Spofforth, the fast bowler who was instrumental in bringing apart the Ashes by dismantling the England batting lineup, after which the English press held a eulogy, a funeral for English cricket, cremated the stumps, and from there the Ashes trophy was born. And to this day, every 18 to 24 months... Kieran doesn't like cricket. Like,
and
I know
don't
you don't know about cricket
now,
but Kieran hates cricket.
Do you think that perhaps instead of, you know, mourning the loss of cricket, what they were trying to do was actually exorcise the demon of cricket by burning the stumps?
Yep,
in
actually,
the hopes that
I'm gonna
it would eliminate cricket from the world.
I'm co-signing
the horror
that
it is.
Immediately, yes. The third
failed
demon
exorcism. That's devastating.
The third demon that possesses Australians is just cricket.
People who channel to the sexual proclivities. I mean, let there be 1,000 lessons, boy. Or answer them. Or
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Welcome to Shouldn't Have Come. This is a Australian podcast, in theory, both because it's Australian, I guess, and also a podcast, probably.
Probably.
Probably. Evidence is still out.
The evidence is out.
The evidence is out.
No one's read it.
Nobody's read it. It's not peer-reviewed or anything, but I did post it. So if you're interested, like, give it a read. Let me know what you think.
Sound off in the comments section.
Hey, chat, what about this evidence?
Hey, chat.
Speaking of saying hi. Hi, Yanni.
Oh, hey, Karen.
Hi, Elle.
Hi, Kieran. Hi, Yanni.
Hey, Elle.
Well, fuck, that was pretty easy. That was pretty easy this time.
Yeah, it's way easier with three people.
Yeah, would you believe it?
Can't wait till we have seven.
You know.
And I can't wait until we have 17.
That's going to be 16, 7 times 8. What's 17 times 8?
Yeah, the good fuck? Question.
No, wait, 16 times 8. Fuck, it's 160 minus 32, so 128.
All right, now you can double check. Was it 128? 16 times 8?
Yeah.
Okay, what do we got? What do we got?
128.
Yeah, you know, got to have one skill. Gotta have the one.
Gotta have the one. God given.
Why was I doing that maths?
It doesn't matter.
There's a lot of people.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. That'll be the amount of highs if there were 17 people.
128.
Damn. Well, would you believe it? There would be even more highs if we were going to introduce every single cryptid, which is what we're talking about today, on the podcast.
This is Halloween. This is Halloween.
Exactly. In honor of the spooky season.
Yeah, this is coming out the day before Halloween.
Happy Halloween Eve.
Happy Halloween.
Hey, she pulled down my Halloween.
Damn.
The Hallowed Weave.
On Hallowed Weave we walk. So today we're talking about Australian cryptids. Elle and I have done some fun research into some critters and spooky ooky goosts that we would love to share with you. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 categories of creature. Now, Yanni does have to select at the end of this presentation her favorite beast or cryptid from our categories here and form a team with them, an NBA basketball team, as I understand it.
Yes, that's we're doing a draft.
And you do have to explain, of course, what position everybody's in and what they bring to that position, how you think you could win.
And obviously an NBA, we have 6 categories here, 5 players on an NBA team. So I want to put to the floor, should my 6th one be the bench player or the coach?
Coach.
All right, so I'll be drafting 5 players, a traditional starting lineup, point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, and center, as well as a coach from these categories. I'm very excited. I'm so excited.
This is going to be a good time, everybody.
I'm really grateful as well that the two of you are humoring me and allowing me to do a draft on a podcast.
Oh, we'll be humoring, all right.
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlefolk, our six? Yes, our six categories are big cats, prehistoric freaky land, wet guys.
Hello, how are you? I am under the water.
Humanoids.
What do you mean, you people?
First Nations folklore and some bullshit.
Hell yeah.
Give it up for our 6 contenders, I guess.
No, the contenders would be the critters.
The critters.
These are the categories vying for.
These are our...
These are the weight classes.
These are the species.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
So basically, I can pick one from each category, and I need to use those to fill out a team.
Correct.
Yes.
Beautiful. Yep. Very exciting. Follow along at home if you want to draft your own team, see how your team would compare to mine. Mine will win.
Yeah, but see, I mean, look, listen. Like, you've probably got a shot at home. So, you know, play along. Why not? Let's fucking get into it.
As always, the slideshow will be available. This one seems very crucial that we have the slideshow available.
Absolutely.
So you can see the critters.
Yes.
So that'll be available today as
this
well.
This is going to be very visually stimulating
very
for
visually
everyone
stimulating.
At home.
So we're going to be starting off with big cats. Now, this is one we've discussed in the past already, the Blue Mountains panther.
Mm.
But I figured it was worth a mention just briefly to kind of crack us in.
Mm.
This is one of my favorite, like, conspiracies from our conspiracy theory episode, mainly because of Grant Denyer, or as Elle called him.
Grant Denier.
Grant Denier. No, but he doesn't deny it.
I know what I saw, man.
But that's why it's funny, because his name is... In that context, it would be like Grant Denier, like Big Denier, but he's like Grand Believer.
He is the Grand Believer. Yeah. He's the Grand Potentate of the Church of Panther.
Yeah, and I just thought it would be really funny if his name was Grant Denier.
It is spelled Denier.
It is spelled Denier, like objectively. But no, it's Grant Denier. It's like
as objectively as language can be.
Yeah, it's like it's the same situation as John Jarrett, John Jarrett.
Yeah, I guess Grant Denier is as valid as John Jarrett, which is more valid than John Jarrett, which is bullshit.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. How did you know he was in our some bullshit category? That's crazy.
Okay.
All right. So. The Blue Mountains Panther is what is known as an ABC. So this is something we're going to be referencing in this section. ABC stands for Alien Big Cat.
Big Cat.
Exactly. They're also sometimes called Phantom Cats.
Yeah, right.
Now, basically what that means is that they are large felines dwelling in areas that large felines shouldn't be. Like Australia, for example.
Like anywhere near me.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
yeah, they're not supposed to be anywhere near my house.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not looking for a panther out there.
So the Blue Mountains Panther, as the name implies, is said to live in the Blue Mountains and surrounding areas of New South Wales. Eyewitnesses claim it is larger than domestic or feral cats, is black in colour, and some claim it has taken livestock and attacked people. Once again, Grant fucking Denyer has cameras set up on his property to catch footage of the beast.
It was a black cat that didn't look like a cat, didn't walk like a cat, walked like a panther.
And there are shaky photos, footprints and scat all being used as evidence. And I mentioned this last time, but the New South Wales government has conducted no less than 5 investigations into whether the Blue Mountains Panther exists, with almost every single one concluding with, look, like probably not, but maybe. You never know. For the audience, we have some very blurry photos of what could possibly maybe be a big cat. We have some paw prints. We discussed this previously. It's not the most compelling of evidence.
No, but...
But I guess it's something, like, I guess that's an animal, right?
Honestly, out of the blurry photos of, like, things like that that we're going to see, this is probably the most convincing, because you're going to see some blurry photos that you're going to be like, what the fuck is that?
I'm not going to be as convinced.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. That's, at the very least, quite a large cat. That's at the very, like, I think
and
I said this at the time.
It definitely has, like the stance of a cat, like a stance of a big cat, you know?
And so, even if it is just, like, a very large cat, is that materially different from a big cat?
Well, we're definitely going to have that discussion at some point.
Oh, exactly. Goodness. Okay.
Yeah, that discussion will come up.
Yeah, the photos we're seeing is, like, a footprint that's the size of a cigarette lighter, a big cigarette lighter. We got the... Definitely that first one with the spotlight. It's like, oh, it looks very hunchy and quite bulky for a cat that's just kind of walking around Grant Denyer's house. But that Blue Mountains Panther we talked about before. Love it, though.
Absolutely.
Big fan of it.
So now we're going to move on to our next big cat.
The Orimba Panther. Okay,
Orimba.
So as of July 2015, Jake Kassar with his dog Benson from Kerryong is on a quest to capture the Central Coast infamous Black Panther in the Wadigan Mountains, Orimba, in, what is that, fucking...
New South Wales.
So it's north of Sydney, between Sydney and Newcastle.
So near the Central Coast. Yes.
Near the Central Coast. So this was actually reported by the Daily Telegraph.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, the one.
Real. Yeah, paper of record.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the real... Sorry, not the Daily Mail.
No, the other one. The other one. Mr. Kassar was commissioned to find evidence of the cat, not seen on the Central Coast since 2006 by a local production company for a series of YouTube episodes branded Terror Australis.
Yeah, right. The terror of the Central Coast.
Yes.
Yep.
The Orimba Panther.
So we got a couple quotes here. I used to cull feral animals for conservation. It's got to be 4 or 5 inches bigger than any feral cat I've seen. It's more like a bobcat than a panther. Again, you know, the real question is what phantom cat is the phantom cat specifically?
Yeah, at what point does it become...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. He goes on further to say, as an environmentalist, I want to find if these things are out there and what sort of damage these things are capable of. So, you know, like, I can imagine large cats such as these, if they were hypothetically out there, they would indeed be, like, a huge conservation concern. So you can kind of understand Mr. Kassar to an extent, I think.
Well, I understand he's like, hey, I want to know if there is a cat.
Absolutely.
It's important for us to know if there is a cat.
Because if there is a cat, we could be in a lot of trouble.
But that's, you know, that's kind of Pascal's wager for cats.
Exactly.
Pascal's wager.
Yeah.
Pascal's wager.
Is this like Schrodinger's cat? Is this Schrodinger's cat?
We found it. It's the Roomba Panther.
And we were discussing grainy images and things that are convincing in other ways.
Yeah.
Look at the images we have on the screen. What do you think that looks like? Would you say that looks like a panther?
So for the listener, we've got two images that I've been presented with on the screen. The top one looks like a cat, but also could be a possum, honestly. And it's like a night vision one. The bottom one honestly kind of looks like Archie.
I was gonna
it's
say,
like straight up a dog.
That's just, like a dog.
That's just a brindle dog.
That doesn't look anything
that's
like a cat.
Someone's dog running around in the park
that's
having
my
a good time.
Dog today.
Straight up.
You gotta just put a picture of RG up there. So I don't know if either of these two are the Aruma Panther that I'm really sorry, but it's either a domestic cat, possum, or dog. I understand there's been more reports of it, so you know, we'll leave it. We'll give it some grace.
I guess.
Maybe we won't.
Okay, fuck the Aruma Panther.
Fuck the Aruma Panther, because we've got another panther to talk about.
Yes.
I hope you're ready to talk about the Emmaville Panther.
Emmaville?
Ooh. Emmaville.
What the fuck is Emmaville?
Emmaville, so it's right down there in the bottom left corner. Yeah. Emmaville is a small town in northern New South Wales. It's about 200 k's from Brisbane and about 600 k's from Sydney. It was originally settled as a market township to serve local tin miners. The area was known to the local Ngarrabal people as Marin, meaning plenty of leeches.
Damn, that's a good name. It seems. Wait, are there leeches there?
I have to presume there are leeches there.
I hope so, because otherwise it's a really bad name.
But leeches aren't the only critters around these parts. The Emmaville panther was first spotted in the 1950s, and further sightings continued into the 1960s. And here is an absolutely balls-to-the-wall news piece from the Canberra Times in 1958, that I would love for you to read out.
Oh, this is for me. I'm so excited. An offer by that. No. I can't do your news voice. An offer by Sir Edward Hallstrom of a £1,000 reward for the black animal roaming the northern tablelands has started many safaris to hunt in it for the county around Glen Innes. Sir Edward Hallstrom, who is chairman of the Taronga Park Trust, has offered £1,000 for the animal, dead or alive. The £1,000 will be paid back only if the animal proves to be a rare, giant, Australian black marsupial cat. What? If it should be an Indian black panther, he will give a reward of £500. Reports of sightings of the animal come from Glen Innes, Tenterfield, and Tamworth. Many people in the area believe the animal is a panther and think it escaped from a circus at Emmaville several years ago. An old coat clawed to pieces has been found. One man said the beast is about 6 foot long and over 2 foot high. Sorry, 6 foot long and 2 foot high.
Yeah, you know.
They're not getting onto the basketball team. And sorry, if you find an Indian panther, I'm only giving you £500. Bro, you found an Indian panther in central New South Wales. That seems huge.
That seems
like really problematic. This motherfucker, I'll give you £1,000 if you find the black marsupial cat. Are there marsupial cats? Is that a thing?
Yeah, so we are going to talk about this a little bit later, but Thylacoleo, that's how it is said. Thylacoleo is the extinct Australian marsupial cat.
Yeah, right.
Which is really interesting, and we will talk about that a little bit later. Something you'll find that comes up, and Elle can attest to this as well, is a lot of these, like, creatures, these, like, big cats or whatever, there's kind of, like, a handful of explanations of them. It's either, you know, this is just a cat. This is an escaped circus animal. Military brought this here in, like, the 40s. And maybe this is the long-extinct marsupial cat.
Right.
And depending on the area, there's a bunch of different kind of things that contribute to what this beast is.
Right. Okay, so...
So this one... Circus.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, this isn't a marsupial cat area. This is like a circus area. I feel like I remember the army, they brought them in like Darwin, right? Is that right?
I can't remember whether it was Darwin. I know that there was some in Victoria as well.
Okay,
Which is also why there is like a weird amount of like...
We spoke about this at some point.
Which was during the Blue Mountains Panther episode.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about this news article a little bit as well, because like I said, this is the 1958 Canberra Times news article.
Yeah. Shout out.
Shout out. And This wasn't even in like a Weird World section of the newspaper.
No, this was just like the news.
This was sandwiched in between conflict between Greece and Turkey in NATO. And the other side of it was about radio waves being bounced off the moon for the first time. Like,
that's having pretty a normal important. One.
Yeah, this yeah.
Having a normal
And you know
one.
What they you know what they sent to the moon? They were like, hey, you find this panther, we'll give you £1,000.
We'll send it to the moon. So as mentioned in the article, the Emmaville panther was said to be massive, certainly bigger than any feral cat, and that the theories as to its origin were much the same as other ABCs, like we've discussed.
Yeah.
But we will never know with this particular panther, and that's because 4 days after this article was published, a farmer claims to have shot it.
Bang, bang, and I'll point you to Spoogleweenie.
Well, he didn't recover the body as the wounded creature fled. He believes it wouldn't survive given the nature of its injuries. Emmaville police believed he had shot and killed the creature, and slowly the reports of the Emmaville panther stopped coming in. And because this took place in like the 50s and the 60s, we don't have any photographic evidence like we see with some more modern reportings of ABCs and phantom cats. So who's to fucking say?
No, I think he didn't. I don't think he got the cat.
You don't reckon it?
I think there's a controlled opposition.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think.
Do you think it's a psyop?
I think it's a psyop to make like to stop people from panicking. The cat's still out there.
And it's still alive.
That same Emmaville panther from the 50s is still alive.
Shit.
It's been living since the 1500s.
It's actually really good to eat koala.
It's actually an interdimensional being.
Well, it's a koala actually riding on the back of a cat is what they saw.
God damn it.
Hell yeah. I kind of like the Emmaville panther. Just because, you know, that's a good contract. There's a tradable contract, £1,000. Mm-hmm. I can trade that for a good asset later in the season.
God damn it. All right, well, let's look at your next contender.
Yes, please.
All right, we have the Sunshine Coast Big Cat. So this one is closer.
One of Australia's big things.
One of Australia's big things. Yeah, I was enlightened today about Australia's big things.
Yeah, it's hard to explain it because like, we've just got a bunch of big things. It's like, what do you mean?
As I pointed out while we were having a conversation about it, this is what happens when a country has no culture. They just like make big items.
Yeah, it's like, we'll have more of the art instead of having more art.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not a fan of the big prawn, are we?
Yeah. They misunderstood the instructions of more art, and they're like, oh, like more by volume?
Yeah, we'll need more materials for this prawn. Where, listen, we're going to make the big barbecue. It's going to have to be so big because the big prawn is quite big and they're quite small.
Exactly. You've got to have a size comparison.
All right, exactly. So Sunshine Coast Big Cat.
So the Sunshine Coast Big Cat is proposed to be around a few areas. So Budrum, the Glasshouse Mountains, and the Gympie region. And honestly, like, if there's any place these motherfuckers are going to be, it's going to be in some mountains, right? Like Appalachia maxing.
Yes.
And again, this is one of those things where they speculate that it's an escaped circus animal.
Okay, one of those.
Yeah.
Rather than being like a marsupial.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. As opposed to like, oh, this is an ancient being that survived since millions of years. It's more like, oh, yeah, somebody was just being negligent and they let a panther out of the circus.
Yeah, of which there's like plenty of evidence of that happening, right?
There is actually historical evidence of like, you know, big cats and other animals escaping from like ye olde circuses in Australia.
Like that happened a bunch.
Yeah, and like circus guys were just kind of like, ooh, and then just kind of like kept going to the next town being like, fuck, that's not my problem.
All right. Escape circus animal.
That's pretty much it.
That's pretty much it.
Oh, that's all.
That's literally it. It's not very. It's not a very. As you can see,
it's
we
like
only
people,
have
a couple of people have been like, I saw locations. A big cat.
There's not even like photographic evidence of any sort. It's just like, oh yeah, there's
so it could
a big
be
cat
three populations of large cats.
There could be actually. It's again interdimensional being. It's one cat in all of those places
oh, it's
at
a pocket
the same
dimension.
Time.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Yep,
I understand.
Yep. So write that down. Note that down.
Yeah. Exactly.
Being.
It's Cthulhu.
Cthulhu.
All right, but speaking of Queensland, we need to talk about the Queensland tiger.
Huh. All
right, so this one has got a lot of fun, like, paleo possibilities, which I hope will be fun to look at. So one of the first documented reports of the Queensland tiger was in 1889 in Carl Lumholtz's book Among Cannibals, an account of 4 years' travel in Australia and of camp life with the Aborigines of Queensland. The people he travelled with are called it a Yari, and Carl says this.
And this is in the book Among Cannibals?
Yes, Among Cannibals. An account of 4 years' travels in Australia and of the camp life of the Aborigines of Queensland.
You know, Among Cannibals.
A really
cannibals.
Snappy title.
From their description, I conceived it to be a marsupial tiger. It was said to be about the size of a dingo, though its legs were shorter and its tail long, and it was described by the...
come on, man. And it was described by the blacks as being very savage. If pursued, it climbed up the trees, where the natives did not dare follow it, and by gestures they explained to me how at such times it would growl and bite their hands. Rocky retreats were its most favorite habitat, and its principal food was said to be a little brown variety of wallaby common in northern Queensland scrubs.
Exactly, so...
I love him. So the Yari.
The Yari, exactly. So this is one of those ABC's phantom cats that is... supposedly the remnants of Thylacoleo, the marsupial lion, which was a real creature that actually existed back in the times of Australian megafauna.
So, like, a creature that's, like, looks, acts like a lion, but has a little pouch?
Yeah, so they had pouches. So, interestingly, with Thylacoleo, keep wanting to say, like, Thycleo, Thylacoleo was that both the male and the females of the species had pouches. Obviously, yeah, the right. Females was for, like, you know, holding young and stuff. The males did have a pouch, but it seems like it was more, like, a protective for the, like, junk situation.
Oh, they had, like, an inbuilt
cup. So they're, like, yeah. So, like, they're
they were,
like,
wearing boxers, basically.
Exactly. Damn. You know? Which is pretty cool. So...
you probably still shove a kid in there.
You could probably still shove a kid in there.
Oh, my, don't say that.
So there's some evidence in history, basically, that there was some crossover between Homo sapiens arrived in Australia... and when marsupial lions went extinct. So they went extinct roughly like 40,000 years ago. And obviously the accepted science is that Homo sapiens arrived to Australia like 60,000 years ago. So there is like a 20,000 year crossover period wherein both marsupial lions and people were in Australia at the same time.
Mm.
Yeah, and you'll find that a lot of these creatures, like, going forward, there is... like, that's a through line.
Yeah, I mean, between, I suppose, things like hunting, but also the whatever climactic conditions have driven people to this land are, you know, having impacts on the creatures who are already on this land.
Exactly. And we know through Indigenous, like, oral histories and stories from dreaming that there is a lot of stuff that science only now is kind of validating and being like, oh... yeah, there was a flood in this region, which has this flood myth. And, this animal, this gigantic thing that was told, like, to us by some, like, people out in the middle of nowhere, that was actually very real. We found the fossils now.
Yeah.
Like, this is a constant thing that's coming up is the Indigenous population of Australia being like, yeah, we know this shit. Like, talk about this shit. This isn't fucking news to anybody.
It's almost like Indigenous people were right.
Yeah.
You know?
It's almost like if you live somewhere for quite a long time, you have an understanding of the land.
Yeah, it's almost like you know a little bit about the place where you've lived for thousands and thousands of years.
It would be much like, I suppose, in a dumb example, like Elle going to our bathroom and being like, did you know you have a sink in here? I found a sink in here.
It is kind of like
and we're like, yeah, I know there's a sink in there. And it's like, you've never seen this. No, I discover the sink. I know the sink is here. I'm going to teach you how to use the sink.
Well, it would be like that if also before that, Elle didn't believe us that we had a sink in our bathroom.
for some reason, you were trying to convince me that you had a sink in your
bathroom. We've got this, like, sink. Like, and you're like, that's bullshit.
Elle's like, can I use the bathroom even though you guys don't have a sink?
And you're like, no, we have a sink. And I'm like, no, you don't.
And then you go in and you're like, hey, guys, don't worry. I figured it out. You got a sink now.
Like, but we always had a sink. Exactly. So this one I find a lot more interesting because I do love discussions on creatures that have gone extinct or disappeared. Or, like, Australian megafauna is just, like, delicious to talk about. I love that shit. Everything is big and scary, and I think that's really, really cool because that's something that evolutionarily we don't really have anymore. Like, our biggest animals are kind of kangaroos, and they're just, like, people-sized.
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking about, like... big bitches.
Like towering, like, over us.
Huge motherfuckers. Yeah. Uh-huh. I love hearing about
tree
them.
Size,
tree size. Tree size.
Exactly.
Much like our mountains, our animals, medium sized.
Exactly. So I love the megafauna era. It just gets me going every time.
No, me too.
Absolutely. So you know what? I'm willing to say that I think Thylacoleo is out there kicking around.
Yep.
And then modern researchers are like, oh, they probably were talking about tree kangaroos, which, fuck you. I disagree.
That's not tree kangaroos. Thylacoleo. Thylacoleo, absolutely still around. That's the official position of the podcast.
Thank you.
We're taking that line.
Yup. That's our hard line.
Yeah.
We are hard line Thylacoleo out there.
Exactly. I'm a Thylacoleian.
I'm a...
Someone's just like, I mean, what kind of Marxism is that?
Oh, yeah, if you even have to ask, you're not even going to get it. Shall we move on to our next
one? We shall move on to the next one. So our next one is the Nanup Tiger.
Mm.
So this kind of bridges from our discussion of the Thylacoleo, because basically the Thylacine Awareness Group of Australia has a whole article on this guy, the Nanup Tiger.
The tiger.
Yeah, the tiger. The thylacine itself is yet to make its appearance on the list, though, but in due time, in due time.
Mm.
So if I may quote something from the from said Thylacine Awareness Group of Australia website. Nanup, the actual town in Western Australia, has embraced the tiger legend and hosts a tourist walk, a music festival, and art installations, all revering the legendary animal. The local pub has even gone so far as to have the distinctive thylacine stripes added to its staff uniform and decor within the bar. The place literally breathes thylacine.
Is this an area that the thylacine was, like, really common back in the day?
I guess they think it was.
Yeah, right. That's fascinating. So there's just this little town in WA. Is that, so like, what, a few hundred kilometers south of Perth?
Yeah. Yep.
Inland, a few, probably dozens of kilometers or something.
And only a little bit.
Could be dozens of kilometers inland.
It could be tens.
All right.
Maybe even fives.
Okay. I feel like this, I feel like I'm being... hung out to dry for saying dozens, and that just feels it feels a little excessive. No, and they're just like thylacine themed. It's like how Don Bradman's birthplace is like, you know, the Don Bradman toilet block, the Don Bradman mall,
or like Stalin's birthplace is just Stalin
themed. Yeah, right. But this place is thylacine themed, and right, okay. Well, I mean, I want to try the tiger lager.
Yeah.
I think we all want to. I add as a note, has a beer.
Yeah, now that's going to be really important when drafting. You got to think about the merchandising opportunities. Like,
exactly.
This guy's already got his own kind of brand going.
So the Nanup Tiger is the thylacine.
So essentially it is thought to be a thylacine.
Yeah, that perhaps is like the Western thylacine.
Exactly,
like
exactly.
Of the same.
Uh-huh. It is thought to be within that particular, you know, family or whatever.
Domain. Order.
Yep.
Kingdom.
Species.
Phylum.
Go on. Any more?
No.
All right.
I don't know the rest.
So before we go to the next one, I do have to say
that
when I tell you that you're not ready to see the Tantanoola tiger.
Tantanoola?
You're not ready.
You are not ready to see the Tantanoola tiger.
I have never been less ready for something in my life.
Exactly.
Perfect. All right, are you ready?
Yep. Oh, it looks like Archie when he has peanut butter stuck on his teeth. The Tantanoola tiger is fucked up. He needs braces. He needs some eye socket surgery. He's got an orbital fracture. What the fuck is this? This is also just a dog. This is just like a really fucked up dog. I don't know what to tell you. It's like a Kelpie or something? Like a furry Kelpie with its bottom jaw has been like shrunk.
No, it's a tiger, obviously. This is what a tiger looks like. Yanni.
Are you stupid? This is the Tantanoola tiger. Are you a fucking idiot or something?
See, we told you.
Oh,
we told you you're not
God.
Fucking ready for this.
All right, so this taxidermy monstrosity is the Tantanoola tiger. Now, you might be thinking, hey, Kieran, this is a dog that had its corpse interfered with. And yeah, I tend to agree.
Just like so clearly a dog, and also like so far from a tiger. Like, you couldn't even call it Tantanoola wolf or something?
Hey, before we get to any crazy conclusions, okay, let's look at the facts.
Yeah.
So, the first reports of a tiger sighting in Tantanoola, South Australia, were in the late 1800s. Farmers claimed to see a large creature and feared for their livestock. Children were accompanied to school in groups for fear that the beast would attack. And stories of the creatures. This is so serious, okay? Children were scared. Children were really fucking scared. You have to be so serious.
This isn't a laughing matter, Yanni. This is not funny.
Oh, I'm so sorry to those kids. I hope you're okay. I hope the Tantanoola tiger die next to you, convulse or something.
Yep.
Stories of the creature's origin swirled. A passing circus was blamed for an escaped tiger 10 years prior. Surely it was this very animal that was now stalking Tantanoola. In 1895, the Tantanoola tiger was shot, killed, and then preserved in the fashion you see before you.
Wait, sorry. Sorry, they're saying this is the tiger.
Yes.
They're saying, I know that they are, but like, so they're saying like, yeah, we got him.
Yes.
Look.
But we haven't gotten to the bit that's even funnier.
Yeah, so it like, and I get it, like, you know, you're having a look at this guy and, it might surprise you, but there has been a bit of debate on what this mystery creature could be.
Mm-hmm.
But I think David Waldron, who literally wrote the book on Australian ABCs, which is called Snarls from the Tea Tree.
Great name for a book.
Yep.
Amazing name for a book.
Said it best Legendary. When he said, I've had wildlife experts look at it and they're all quite convinced it's an alpine dingo. And when you look at an alpine dingo next to it, it quite clearly is. Oh, yeah, I should mention, this is on display at, like, the Tantanoola Hotel or whatever.
Well, we're going.
Like, you can, like...
We're going.
I can't wait for our fucking tour. We're going to do a live podcast at the Tantanoola Hotel
we're
with the tiger.
We're
going to
fucking do it.
With now, the tiger. We're going to ask the tiger.
We have to go see this man.
I need to see him.
This is our guy.
I didn't mention this, but when they, like, caught and killed the tiger...
Yeah, this was what I was waiting for.
They put him on the back of a ute and then, like, drove it through the town.
They paraded it through the fucking town.
But, like, they stuffed it first and then put it on the back of the ute and then paraded it through the town.
Oh, my God, the conquering army. They,
you know,
finally, they got Genghis Khan's head on a spike.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm sure everybody was finally at ease.
All those kids are safe.
Oh
my God, the tent. Okay, I can make this happen. Tan Taliban.
Oh my God.
What the fuck?
Just parading bodies through the streets.
You know, yes. Fuck's sake. But that's the Tantanoola tiger.
Jesus, that's fucking awful.
Tantadama bin Laden.
I won't believe it till they show me the body. It's like we gave him a sea burial. What if they stuffed Osama bin Laden's body and he looked like this? Just, put him on display.
This is where Saddam Hussein is hiding.
He's inside the tiger. He's like, oh, preserve me as a tiger. I will live forever in the hearts of Tantanoolans. Alpine dingo.
Yes.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I don't know about them.
Yeah, so they're a different species of dingo, basically, to your, like, you know, like, not species, they're a variety. Like, as you can see on this dingo, because it is, like, let's, okay,
like,
firstly of all,
okay, right.
This is just, like, a badly taxidermied dingo.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah,
like,
it's very, because clearly it was not preserved properly, because that is some degeneration right there.
Yes, like, if you look at it compared to, like, this historical photo of when it was, like, originally stuffed, you can see that it's, like, they clearly didn't fucking know what they were doing, A, because the anatomy of this beast is fucked, and B, because, like, you can see the shrinkage.
Yeah, it's like a bunch of the fur is falling off, and there's just, like, air pockets have flattened into each other, and
exactly.
It just looks shriveled now.
Yes, but...
He looks amazing.
He's so beautiful. He means so much to me.
We have to go see this tiger.
We have to.
You can see by the markings and stuff, like, this is kind of your standard dingo coloration. You've got kind of, like, a palish tan. You've got some darker reddishness and browns over the back. And that's kind of the alpine dingo thing, is that they are generally paler.
Yeah, cool.
I imagine this is because of being in alpine climates. And sometimes there's snow. So having a lighter coloration makes you blend in easier. Blah, 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 blah. As opposed to dingoes that are in, like, you know, the middle of Australia in red dust, where obviously having a reddish hint to the fur is going to be a lot more helpful in terms of blending in. So there he is, the Tantanoola tiger.
There he fucking is.
And he's beautiful and we love him.
Mm-hmm. I adore him. That's a fantastic one.
Yep.
All right. Are we ready for the next?
Are we ready for the next?
We got more cats?
Yes, we are. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my
Many
God.
More.
Oh, don't
Several
worry. There's,
more.
I should say. Big Cats is the biggest section of this.
Oh, I'll start a new page then.
Yeah, Big Cats is actually the largest of them because, weirdly enough, Australia has so many big cat legends.
They
like,
really, I think
lots.
Australians really want there to be a big cat out there.
We have
I mean,
big
this
cat
is something that me
hole.
And Australians agree on. I want there to be a big cat out there.
So the next is the Grampians Puma. So this is interesting because pumas or cougars are often called panthers as well. So I just think it's funny that they, like, basically use a synonym.
Mm.
Like, we can't not every single one of them can be a panther. We got to use a different word.
So pumas and panthers are like interchangeable words.
In some contexts, yes.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it's like a regional thing. Mm. Like they're often called panthers.
Yeah, nice.
So anyway, the Grampians puma is rumored to inhabit the titular Grampians in Victoria.
Yep.
I came across a Reddit post of someone supposedly having encountered one of these, and I really like this one comment in reply. Yanni, would you like to read the lengthy one?
You're making me read out a Reddit comment?
Actually, I
realized. Yep. All right, I'll do Reddit voice.
As you should.
They're not panthers or even... No, I'll just read it normally. They're not panthers or even classified as big cats. They're just wild or feral cats, which can get pretty large. I've seen one whilst in a paddock down near the Otways. I saw it from about 100 meters away, but it stood up to around half the height of one of those cylindrical hay bales. Very obviously a cat, not a dog or anything, like, even from that distance.
And another one goes, if only you'd taken a blurry photo.
If
obviously.
Only, I need one. So
obviously, he's like sarcastically being like, wow, if only you'd taken a blurry photo.
So we don't even have a photo of this guy.
Yeah, honestly, like, more and more, it's starting to seem like the common people are just, like, blowing overgrown feral cats even more out of proportion.
Yeah, yeah, like, you don't, like, there's not, I guess, many feral cats, and so when you see one, it's the biggest one you've seen.
There's actually fuckloads of feral cats in Australia.
Yes.
Out in the Grampians and stuff?
Look, they're just kind of, like, all over the place, and it's mainly because, like, Australian animals don't have, like, native predators like
right.
that. Right. And so that's one of the reasons why there are areas in Australia that you are not allowed to have your cats roaming freely outdoors.
Mm.
Like, it's illegal for that to happen. And it's because of the destruction that they can do to native wildlife who don't know how to defend themselves.
Skill issue.
You know, skill issue. fucking idiots. I know that my cat, for example, was an outdoor cat.
Yeah.
My cat growing killer. Up. Yeah, she would just... She learned how to walk so that the bells on her collar didn't jingle.
Fucking...
So she could stalk birds and catch them.
Fucking freak
she's
shit.
A fuck. She was a fucking nut.
Love hearing about her, though.
You know? But, yeah, there is a lot of feral cats in Australia.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And I think that's beautiful.
and I think that's beautiful. So let's go for another one, also in Victoria. It's the Gippsland Phantom Cat.
The Gippsland or Gippsland Phantom Cat.
Yeah, sure. We'll call it the Gippsland. No, we won't. Gippsland.
No, we won't.
All right. It's kind of the same story we've gone over already, just in a new location, but there is a little bit of a weird coda to it. So it's a big black cat in the bush. Mm. There's some grainy photos, eyewitness reports. Oh, it could be from the circus. It could be from the military. Blah, 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 blah.
Gippsland, for the viewer, south coast of Australia, east of Melbourne.
Yes. Only the difference with this one is that in 2005, deer hunter Kurt Engel shot and killed what he believed to be the Gippsland Phantom Cat.
Kurt Engel?
Yes.
Like Kurt Angle?
Hey, this is Kurt Engel, and I'm finally on TikTok.
Like K-U-R-T... E-N-G-E-L.
Like angles?
Yeah.
No, like only one of them.
Oh,
no,
only a
like,
single
no,
angle.
But like angles.
Yes, but
like
only
an,
one
I would
of
say
them.
An angle is like an angles.
Oh only God. One of them. Not
wait,
multiples.
Sorry. So this guy, wait, sorry, he shot it?
Yes.
Kurt Angles?
Yes.
Kurt Engel. Only
Engel.
One.
Only
one Kurt Engel.
Angles is the other one.
Yeah.
Okay. So
he's the one who talked about social murder. That's the angles.
All right. And this is phantom cat murder.
And he's talking about phantom cat murder. Yes.
What's
yes.
a phantom cat?
So that's the same as an ABC. It's just like a fun way
okay,
of saying
okay.
phantom cat, because it's like, oh, is this cat here or not? Should it be?
Do we need to stop the boats but for cats?
Yeah, stop the phantom cats. Stop the phantom boats. So basically, Kurt takes a photo of its body, obviously, for evidence.
Mm-hmm.
He cuts off its tail, obviously, for evidence.
Like a scarf.
And then he dumps its body in a river.
What?
As you would.
For
evidence.
Like
evidence?
Yeah. It feels like that's an insane thing to do.
That's
to
not even
any
like...
type of animal, let alone one that you think might be like a mystery wildcat.
That's not like a normal way to dispose of an animal carcass, I don't think.
No, it's kind of fucking insane. Like, what was his fucking problem?
And does he think he's got a phantom cat or just, like, one of many feral cats?
I think he thinks he's got the phantom cat, right?
Because he's like, I better take a photo, take its tail, and then get rid of the rest of this bitch.
Yeah, get rid of the body. So the tail was sent for DNA analysis, and the mitochondrial data showed that the cat's mother would have been just, like, a regular feral cat.
Mm.
So if this indeed was the Gippsland phantom cat that Kurt shot, we can conclude that it was just a big feral, at least on its mother's side. Maybe. Here's my suggestion. Maybe she was just a real size queen who got it on with the real Gippsland Phantom Cat and then had like huge babies.
Big
it was
babies.
One of those huge babies.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's like why Bronny's not like as big as LeBron, because LeBron's exactly. wife is Savannah and she's smaller.
Very
it's the
small.
Same thing here. So you're saying that the Gippsland Phantom Cat is like, you know what, to carry on the lineage, I'm going to have to breed with feral, like regular feral cats.
Yep.
So you reckon we've got like a mixed cat?
Yes.
We've got a mixed race cat. Mixed race cat in the house.
Mixed race cat.
That's me.
Look at this mixed race cat.
Yep, that's me.
All right, to our next one. We're heading to
We're in our final stretch of the cats.
Yeah, there's a lot of cats.
Believe us.
There's two more.
Two more. And one of them is like a dead ass one. You know what I mean? All right. We have the Tasmanian panther.
Yeah, right.
So, since the 19th century, there have been reports of the Tasmanian panther in, naturally, Tasmania. So, a black panther-like big cat. The 2024 novel Dusk by Robbie Onnett is supposedly based on this folklore. So, I looked into it, and it's basically about these twins who join forces with the local hunters to track down the Tasmanian panther, appropriately dubbed Dusk, because they're, like, useless at their job, I guess? So, this book, like, won a bunch of indie awards.
Hell
yeah. That's it.
I hope it was good. Hey. Yeah. Shout out Robbie Arnett. If you read Dusk, I hope you like it. Robbie,
sound off in the comment section if you like Dusk by Robbie Arnett.
Crazy that you've turned the Biscuit Legacy into writing Dusk.
Yep.
Okay, so we're going to stick around in Tasmania because it is finally time to talk about the Tasmanian tiger or thylacine. So this is probably my favorite guy in the whole world.
Yes.
I am 10 toes down, a full believer in thylacines being out there somewhere. I am a Tassie tiger truther, and I will never let go. The thylacine, or more colloquially known as the Tasmanian tiger, is a carnivorous marsupial that once inhabited mainland Australia, Tasmania, and New Guinea. Genetically, thylacines were full marsupials with pouches and everything, but they resembled canids like dogs and wolves. If you were to describe one, you'd probably say it looks like a dog that's a bit, like, off. Mainly its stiff tail, stripes, and, you know, its ability to open its mouth a deeply concerning amount.
It's so wide.
Up to an 80-degree angle.
That's like a snake unhinging its jaw.
80 degrees?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I can do that.
So as a regular part of the natural environment in history, we don't really need to go into like the first sightings of the Tassie tiger. Like it's been there. It'd be kind of like discussing like when did we see the first wombat. But what I think we should do is go into its last official sighting.
Mm-hmm.
So the last known individual of any species is known as an endling, which is a deeply tragic thing that invokes in me a deep sadness almost impossible to really describe. So the thylacine endling died on the 7th of September 1936 at Hobart Zoo. It had been captured by some dickhead with an illegal trap in May of that year and sold to the zoo shortly after. And there's a huge amount of disagreement on whether the animal was male or female, as well as the circumstances around its death. Some think it was due to neglect, others thought it succumbed to the elements due to a poor enclosure, and others believe it was just old age. There's an urban legend that the thylacine was named Benjamin, but that seems to be generally agreed on as being some bullshit that, like, a different guy who hadn't even been to the zoo just made up.
Oh, he just calls it Ben. Well, actually, we did that with a cockatoo.
You know?
If you remember.
We actually did call a cockatoo Ben. We were like, this is Ben.
We didn't know the cockatoo's name, but everyone called him Ben.
Yeah. I guess we're the dickheads in this story.
Yeah.
Anyway, after it died, its remains were taken to the Tasmanian Museum and Art Gallery and improperly recorded because, again, this animal had been caught from the wild illegally, and as such, having the remains was also illegal.
Mm.
But don't ask me how they hand-waved all this shit to get it to the zoo and then to the museum, because I don't fucking know.
Laws are fake.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was only in 2022, which is 86 years after its death, that the museum was able to locate and correctly document its remains.
Well, that's recent.
Yeah. Yep. Like a couple of years ago, they were like, oh, shit, here it is. Oh, fuck, this is it. Hey.
It's just in a fridge or something.
You know?
Next to some pasta.
These aren't my leftovers.
The pasta's also evolved into a marsupial.
Oh my God.
It's now a marsupial that looks like pasta.
Pasta was always a marsupial, actually.
True. In further depressing news, official government conservation legislation to protect the thylacine came into effect on the 10th of July, 1936, just 59 days before our endling died in captivity.
So too late anyway.
Yeah, pretty much. So, like, this is very sad, right?
Yes.
And
the the video, I think probably everyone listening has seen the video of the lost thylacine walking around his cage.
Yes.
But like,
and like
that's
the cage is like barren. Like it's
no,
it's
hard.
The
it's 30s one of the
in
most
Tasmania.
It's barren and it's teeny tiny.
Yes.
It's one of the most heartbreaking things I've ever seen.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. But what gives me hope is fellow Australians just like me on a quest to prove the thylacine endures.
It does.
It's out there. So there have been reports of thylacines in Tasmania for decades, as well as reports from across mainland Australia. So many, in fact, that a 2023 study into these reports suggested that it was possible the thylacine survived into the 1980s, with some thought that it could be possible they were around in incredibly small numbers in the early 2000s. Which is like, I like to believe that they're still out there, like, now, but I fully believe they surely were around in, like, you know, past this 1936 that we're kind of told is like, yeah.
You don't think Benjamin was actually the Endling?
No, no. Mm-hmm.
This is kind of like your beliefs on the moon landing.
Yes, it's because it's full of caveats, right? It's always full of caveats.
Like,
wait,
you're like,
what?
So,
oh, don't worry about it. It doesn't matter.
Karen believes in all of the moon landings but the first one.
Yes. The first one was fake and then the other ones have been real.
Okay. Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, it's a really creative one, right? You don't hear that. You don't hear that one.
So you think Buzz Aldrin was actually the first guy on the moon?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
No. That whole landing, Karen thinks is fake. Unless, did he go back?
I don't know.
Well, whoever went on the second mission to the moon.
Yeah. The first
basically
mission
the first mission to the moon where they like one small step for man. That's bullshit.
Oh, so
and then
I think,
everything else since then, that has been legitimate. They've
so
come
I
to
think
the moon.
In a roundabout way, Kieran believes that the USSR won the space race.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. We respect it. We respect
Cosmonauts
it.
For life. With our discussion on the Tasmanian tiger thylacine, yes. That brings a close to our largest section, as we described, which is big cats. So Australia sure does love big old scary bush felines, right? And we've
tell
heard
me about it.
And we've heard from a couple of examples like the thylacine and the thylacoleo.
Shame you didn't say big old hairy bush pussies.
Fuck!
You can now. We can.
Big old hairy bush pussy.
God.
Was that good?
Yeah, it was really good.
Hell yeah. So now that we've kind of talked about some of these historical guys like thylacine, thylacoleo, ones that we know existed but have, you know, become extinct, I say in quotations.
Mm.
Let's go a little further into this long ago time with our next section. Which is, of course, prehistoric freaky land.
Aw.
Oh, right.
So, we're starting off pretty strong with the Goonai.
Goonai.
Yes.
Goonai.
That's what happens when you've been staring at a screen too long while gooning. You got Goonai.
Chad, I got that Goonai.
Goonai, spelled G-U-N-N-I.
Still seeing tits when I close my eyes.
Still seeing Brits when I close my eyes.
Well.
Get your Brits out.
Get your Brits out.
Get your Brits out.
Put your Brits out. Anyway, so the Goonai
Burn
is interesting.
A mad one.
The Goonai is interesting mostly because sightings of it didn't really pick up until a specimen of the creature was displayed in Marysville, Victoria around 2003. And allegedly, this creature that you can see in this photograph here was captured by loggers in 1967. But what the fuck is a Goonai? Well, it's a giant, stripy wombat thing with antlers and a tail.
That's a wombat? I was like, I didn't know he had deer. What do you mean it's an antlered wombat?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. So it looks like, I guess now that you say that, like it, I've got it, there's a picture right in front of me and it is like a wombat with antlers, I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
okay. That's fucking wild.
So the stuffed corpse of this creature was on display at the Marysville Visitors Centre until 2009, when there was like a bunch of bushfires and, you know, it was removed. And the story provided by local ranger Miles Stewart Howie, who was the one who installed the exhibition and, like, you know, put this guy in his glass cage or whatever, he says that the first reported sightings began in the 1860s and were often explained away as being the result of locals getting, like, plastered and seeing shit. So he'd be like, oh, yeah, you know, miners, workers, farmers, they would hit the piss and then they would be like, I saw this fucking thing. I saw this thing out in the bush.
Yeah. And everyone's yeah, absolutely. Sure, George.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So there have been multiple modern claims about seeing the Goonai. But like I said, these only started after the exhibit had been put up, right?
Mm.
So something to know about Miles, who's the guy who installed this, is that he's allegedly known to be a bit of a prankster.
Mm.
And so while there's nothing concrete to prove it, the Gunai is absolutely just some shit he'd slapped together for a laugh.
This is, again...
This is Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah. It is just like a wombat with an antler attached to it, is what I'm... I mean, it looks more like a black bear, but I think it's just kind of dark.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just like a
it's
bear...
The angle, I think.
A bear-looking thing with an antler. It looks sick if it was, like, in a, like a fantasy movie... That's
yeah,
great. Like
yeah.
you see, like an antlered bear that looks sick. I wish that was a real mega four. Like I love the idea of an antlered bear.
We've got a flightless mega emu double feature coming up next. So first, we've got the Elsharana bird, an aforementioned giant flightless nocturnal or crepuscular bird supposedly sighted around the Elsharana mine in the Northern Territory. So Elsharana is actually an Arabized Persian Sharan, plural of share for lion, essentially making Elsharana the lions. So I just lied to you. This is not true whatsoever.
Oh.
All the linguistic stuff is, but the meaning behind Elsharana is absolutely not. Luckily, the real etymology is way funnier. So it's basically a portmanteau of the names of the daughters of staff members at the mine. Elvira, Cheryl, and Lana. Elsharana.
Shut the fuck up.
Crazy sauce, right?
Fucking bullshit. Like, Elsharana, and it's spelled like EL space Sharana. I'm like, yeah, that's
yeah,
an
exactly.
Arabic looking word. Absolutely,
exactly.
It means the lions, but no, it's.
No, it's.
Elvira,
Cheryl,
and Lana.
Elsharana. Insane. So, the Elsharana bird was speculated to have been an undocumented species of emu or cassowary, or even a mihirung from the extinct Geniornis genus. And actually, the mihirung is topical for our flightless 2 mega 2 emu, the mihirung paringmal. So, the mihirung is known scientifically as Dromornithidae, or as thunderbirds, or my favorite, demon ducks.
Demon Ducks.
Demon Ducks.
That's my favorite hockey movie.
Exactly. So they were a clade of giant flightless birds, now generally classified under the same category as fowls. The name Mihirung Paringmal itself comes from the Jabwaring language from Central Victoria, meaning giant bird.
Well, that makes sense. Perfect sense.
Exactly. Exactly. So the reason why Mihirung Paringmal is classed as a cryptid is because there are people who believe these guys are still out there in this vetest and rugged land that is Australia.
Just these big birds.
Just these big birds. The speculations of this bird continuity could be a testament to just how ancient the First Nations culture is, to the point that fossils still survive from a time when these birds may have been around the continent's human inhabitants.
Yeah. So it's a cultural memory.
Exactly. It's like what we were talking about like with previous things.
Yeah, yeah, of course,
well.
Of course, of course.
This is a classic like megafauna time.
Yeah.
Like big fucking flightless bird.
It just looks thick as well. Like flightless birds, I imagine, looking narrow, but the depiction we've got here is just like, why is his head purple? But the depiction we've got here is like a thick old bird. In fact, okay, the cartoon looks like it's on DeviantArt.
Okay, wow.
What, did
insulting.
One of you do it?
No.
Okay, well, then, yeah, it looks like it's from DeviantArt.
Kieran sounded personally offended.
That looks like erotica of a Pokemon somehow. But, yeah, it looks fucking thick.
Yeah, that's a thick bird. I mean, you can see from the skeletal structure as well, from the fossil that we do have, is that it's got a massive, like, massive curved beak.
Mm.
Its rib cage and its, like, body, like, where its pelvis and hips and stuff are, would have been quite meaty, especially to accommodate the thickness of its leg bones.
Yeah.
Like, you could imagine this bitch could kick you, like, clean through a tree.
You don't want to be kicked
absolutely.
By
absolutely. You're flying to the opposite side of this continent.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. They're going to run right
like
over
me.
It's
got, like, a real toucan beak, you know?
It does, yes.
Why is it purple? It's so cool that it's purple. Purple, that's crazy.
But, you know what? I reckon it's time to get really prehistoric. Jurassic, even.
Yep.
What the fuck is that?
So there are several
Dennis
dinosaur...
Rodman?
There are several dinosaur fossils that have been discovered in Australia. But do you know about the living dinosaur? Boranjor?
No. I
wish I did.
Yeah. Spoken about in Indigenous folklore, the Boranjor is a huge three-toed reptile who could slaughter kangaroo and cattle with ease. Rock artwork depicts the creature, and there are tales of areas being abandoned by people and wildlife when a Boranjor makes it their home. Two modern reports that are of particular note to me, one in 1957 and another in 1980, wherein cattle farmers noticed their livestock acting strange and agitated. The following morning, they awoke to find multiple animals massacred by something that had to have been massive. Like, they were torn the fuck up and, like, big chunks of them were missing and stuff. Like, some of them, they were like, yeah, half my cow was missing. Like, something just fucking ripped it up and ate it.
Where'd half my cow go?
Exactly.
Dude, where's half my cow?
Dude, where's half my cow? There are some suggestions that the creature could be, like, a large monitor lizard or a crocodile, but its tracks are bipedal. And I don't know if it's scarier for that to have been a dinosaur or a big fucking lizard who learnt how to walk upright.
That's scarier, actually.
So, like, yeah, which would you be more afraid of?
Or, like, a, what, a gigantic bird?
You know?
Fucking hell, I mean, a lizard walking upright I'd be more scared of. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, I've seen an emu. I haven't seen, like, a lizard doing a two-step like that.
And it would be a big one, too.
Yeah, just like a big motherfucking crocodile, just, like, walking on his back legs, like, hey!
That's fucked up. So you can see on the slides, we've got a rock drawing of the three-toed kind of foot. Then we have a alleged plaster cast of a footprint.
It's about, like, this motherfucker's foot is half the size of this man.
Yes.
Yep, absolutely.
And then we have an artist interpretation of the barangel.
Why does it have that haircut?
Because it's a member of Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
It looks like a Fallout Boy.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on here?
Fallout Barangel.
Yeah, this is Fallout Barangel. Fucking hell. Three-toed, big-ass reptile. So, wait, so, and to be clear, so the Barangel, like, did it, like, it's thought to have existed at one point, but some people believe it existed into the 80s.
Kind of, yes. Mm. So, whether it's the Barangel that the myth that we have is the actual creature, we do have indigenous folklore from, like, yonks ago where they talk about very large bipedal lizard things that like hunt, right?
Right.
And so that's akin to some of the fossils that we have found, though I don't think there is an exact match between the story versus like the paleo evidence or whatever.
But it's like it's referring to a creature that's hypothesized to have existed.
Yes.
That some people believe existed till the 80s.
Yes, and some people are like, yeah, this thing is still alive and it's still out there right now.
Yeah, right. Yep. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Barangel.
Exactly. So be careful. Out in the middle of Australia, you don't know if you might get eaten. Fucking dinosaur.
Yeah, speaking of big fucking lizards, the Megalania did actually exist once. It's Varanus priscus, an extinct species of giant monitor lizard, which inhabited the continent that is now Australia during the Ice Age. This is another one of those creatures that First Nations people in Australia could very well have come in contact with. The cryptid aspect of the Megalania is the idea that this gargantuan lizard, a lizard that could grow up to anywhere from 2 to 7 meters in length minus the tail, might also still be out there in the Australian expanse to this day. And honestly, with just how many, like, absurd ideas the foreigners have about the scale of Australian fauna, the existence of this guy might just be one of those things we could get, like, a Seppo to believe.
Yeah, we could absolutely tell him, like, don't go into the bush, there's Megalania. Don't go to Uluru.
Absolutely.
There's Megalania, they'll eat you. That's how we can save Uluru.
Yeah.
Tell the white people that there's Megalania out there.
Exactly. Like, yeah, that's where they go to, like, lay eggs and stuff. I wouldn't go there. They get really territorial.
Absolutely.
Uluru is a Megalania egg.
Oh, shit.
A Megalania ate my baby.
Uluru's an egg. Uluru's an egg. Yeah, I feel like when we've gone past the museum, perhaps when we all went together, actually, facing out into the whale area, right, there is a very big statue of a lizard you can see through the glass. I believe that might be a Megalania or like a similar
very big lizard.
Right. I don't know if you remember seeing it. It's kind of like difficult to see, but it's like a really big bitch, like bigger than all of us easily.
I mean, like 2 to 7 meters.
Fucking huge.
That's huge.
Also, like, a pretty big range as well, actually.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Depending on, I guess, how much it eats.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. They just kind of keep growing if they get...
I guess so.
Yeah.
Perhaps. Yeah. Perhaps that's how
there's
it
some,
is.
There's some, like, lizards like that, right? And, like, crocodiles and stuff, right? There's some reptiles that can kind of keep growing.
I think, in general, that's, like, a thing within the animal kingdom, you know, better fed creatures that are able to access more nutrition grow larger. I mean, it's literally the same with humans.
It's fucked up.
It's fucked up. People
Check your
shouldn't
privilege,
be able to...
Megalania.
Exactly.
God
you have
damn
all
it.
This abundance.
God damn it. You live in abundance, you glutton.
I have to go to the bathroom.
Of course. I was going to see if I could have a water break. So this might actually be a good spot to pause for a moment.
Hey, folks. Wow, that seems a bit loud. Hey, folks. So this episode went really long, and we didn't want to split it over 2 weeks because we kind of lose the thrust of it. So what we're going to do is release part two tomorrow on Halloween, where you'll be able to hear about the rest of the cryptids, some of the freakier ones, some of the ones you've probably heard of, as well as, of course, the draft. So tune in then. Happy Halloween Eve. Happy Halloween. And we'll see you again next week with something a little bit more academic.